Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Was that the best wrestling pay-per-view of 2020 so far? That's right. All 492 months of 2020, AEW might have just beaten all the other pay-per-views with full gear from Saturday night. Because, oh my word, a top-to-bottom stacked card, first off. And a show with so many high expectations on three particular matches, and somehow, for my money, AEW surpassed every single one of those expectations we had for them. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. This review...
Sorry. Who is this? Who are you joined by?
Lukewarm.
That's absolutely right. That champion. Your new Jam That Champion is here on this stream. And because I'm a man who brings prestige to this title, it will be on my shoulder as long as we're on stream. This championship will be on my shoulder, carrying WrestleTalk, carrying this championship for my favorite people in the whole wide world, not including you, the SWAP Nation. Give me a yes, please, in the chat. Getting rowdy in the chat, folks. I am your Jam That Champion. You may now carry on.
Well, while that jambroni over there, yeah, I used it in a negative way, you son of a bitch, is saying, I'm the champion. What about Mr. Davis? I give you free beer. Remember, Mr. Davis equals free beer. This podcast is sponsored by Beer 52. Go to beer52.com/WrestleTalk. And you, UK viewers only, will get a free case of craft beer containing 8 delicious brewskis. I will be sampling this particular one after our main discussion point, which is, my word, what a pay-per-view. We'll open with what I think was match of the night. I think most people think was match of the night. I'm going to say it wasn't match of the year, though, because my money still goes to Kenny Omega and Hangman Page versus the Young Bucks. But yeah, the Young Bucks are a pretty good tag team, and they're capable of having two of the best matches of the year. Because yeah, the Young Bucks versus FTR, what a match.
Oh, dude, it was a match that the build for it had kind of fallen off the rails a touch. Like, it started off really well when FTR first came into AEW before All Out. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz. And we were like, we're going to get FTR Young Bucks. Man, cannot wait for this match. There's absolutely no way that they can drop the ball on this. But lo and behold, they actually managed to drop the ball on this because the Young Bucks got their championship match, not through being the number one ranked tag team, but through a tombola that picked out four teams at random And then it was a match that they won. They'd turned heel and were super kicking Shivani and Marvez. And then they were babyface because they got pillmanized. And it just sort of like was a bit, you know, hit and miss. And we clickbaited the hell out of our last episode because FTR told us themselves that they weren't happy with the build either, which is total clickbait on our parts, for their own words. And it actually left me in a position where going into the match, my expectations had been somewhat lowered, I guess, in a way.
What a genius move by them.
In a way, yeah, because then the match was incredible. And crucially, much like the Hangman Page Kenny Omega match that opened up, that opened this show, Davis. Absolutely, it was the first match on the card. It actually made me want to see more matches. I wanted to see a rematch between these two. This match was insanely good.
Well, we said it all the way through the build. Every time we said, this build isn't very good. There's loads of just that they're overthinking things. Every time we said it, we did qualify it with, but they're going to have an amazing match. And it's exactly what they did. They are two of the best tag teams in the world. You know, arguably the best tag teams in the world. Interestingly, the Young Bucks in the post-Full Gear media call said FTR were the best tag team they'd ever worked with, including like those Franken teams that have been thrown together, Omega and Page earlier in the year, Omega and Kota Ibushi, the Golden Lovers who they worked with in New Japan. They said FTR were better than all of them. And I guess like, you know, they're cut from the same cloth, very different wrestling ideologies. FTR are 80s, ground and pound, fists, whereas the Bucks are flips, 90s, super kick parties. But the one thing they have in common is this belief that tag team wrestling is an art form on par with singles wrestling. And that respect, you know, and you know, you can say Kota Ibushi, Omega, Page, those combinations, they're excellent tag teams. But when they always have singles wrestling in the back of their minds, that was a holiday for them. This is where FTR live. And it was a joy. It was a privilege. And the Bucks, a shared place of living.
And that's what they wanted to do. And we talked about this on the live stream. You brilliantly pointed out in your review as well. This wasn't just a match of the two best teams in the best two tag teams in the world going at it for the very first time. It was a match of ideologies. It is that FTR 80s Southern wrestling style that they love. That's the style of wrestling that they love. It's holding the tag rope. It's isolating a partner. It's doing this, that, and the other.
It's versus Tully Blanchard.
Exactly. Versus the Young Bucks, who were fans of late 90s, early 2000s wrestling. Their style is the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys, etc., etc. So they were doing spots in this. They hit a 3D. They did the Hardy Boys Swanton Twist of Fate combination, and it all built beautifully to the finale to this match. It was all done on purpose, and actually, like, even down to the fact that they were wearing LA Lakers and Celtic bottlenecks or something, whatever greens, they were called, the Brewskis, the Brewski team, the green ones.
Didn't they just call Boston Celtic, aren't they?
Is that what it is? Boston. The Boston lads. Apparently, I was told that they're seen as like the working class heroes team, while the Lakers are seen as the more flashy. They're just doing things for the flash and the pizzazz style of things. There's so many layers to this, all to build to that moment when Cash Wheeler had the match won, but he wanted to beat the Bucks at their own game. So this fridge of a man did a springboard 450 splash, and it cost him the match. Because Matt Jackson pops up, hits the superkick, gets the pin. What a finish to them. A genius finish.
And a simple story. Like, they thought that this whole match was built around that simple story as the main narrative through line. You also had just some fantastic extra elements, like Matt Jackson's leg being brutally injured in the build and throughout this match. FTR targeted the leg all the way through. And it was with that injured leg he had to that FTR had removed the boot from, removed the sock from, which was just disgusting. Andy Datsun was writhing in awkwardness, having to see a human foot in a ring like that.
I mean, it is hard to watch wrestling and masturbate at the same time.
and I hate it so much. And it was with that leg that Matt Jackson won with that final super kick. But yeah, it was just, it's for that to happen anyway, which is such a neat story. And it seems like, you know, on a micro level, it works really well. It's just this guy versus this guy. They use their style. But on a larger thing, it's like this whole clash of ideologies is so much bigger than this simple move exchange would have you believe. But what I'm such a big fan of when teams or wrestlers lose because of a strategic mistake. It was an error they made on the day. It's not saying, yeah, the Bucks are better than FTR. They will always be FTR because they're just stronger or quicker, etc. No, there was daylight between them. And FTR only lost because they screwed up in one small but significant moment. So that leaves so much intrigue for the rematch.
And as Louis pointed out to us, I've actually not gone back to watch the match, so I missed this at the time. But apparently, Matt Jackson was not holding the tag rope when he made the tag to Nick Jackson.
Oh.
And I don't know, dude. There's always a chance that was just a mistake on their part and they just didn't do it. But I really hope that was done on purpose. And that is because FTR can come out. Because one of FTR's big things is that tag teams have to hold the tag ropes. And if they can use that as one of their outs, they didn't make the error. It wasn't an error that made them lose. The Bucks cheated to get that victory. Oh, there's a lot there, man.
There's so much there. And I guess we'll find out about that on Dynamite. There's no way that's going to be something they reveal in a few weeks' time. Tully, FTR, they're going to come out first thing, hopefully, on Wednesday and just be like, the show can't get started. This was an illegal title change. And you play up that for the rematch, whenever that will be. But like, in terms of, we've just spoken about like the main threads. We haven't even covered and won't really have time to cover because there's a whole rest of the pay-per-view to talk about. The DIY shout-outs.
Oh, yes, of course.
So FTR's arguably most famous opponent up until now, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in NXT. They did at one point, I think it was Matt Jackson on his knees in the middle, Dax and Cash are on opposite sides of the ring, and they both see each other at the same time and they think, let's pull this out the bag.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're so desperate, so like trying so hard to win. They've got to go back to one of their most mortal enemies.
Yeah.
To use their techniques to win.
Which, you know, like Cash and Dax were talking about when Louis interviewed them. Louis from Wrestle 2 and WrestleTalk Interviews was talking about these. Cash was saying that we haven't had these levels of butterflies for a tag match since those days of DIY, of like want, like so excited to go out there and have this match. So for them to actually make that reference to DIY, that was just, and doing the hand pose and everything, you could hear when they were in the opposite corners, the crowd picked up on what they were doing first to be like, and like you, like me, you and Laurie did it when we were watching the stream going like, and then they did the big hand moment. Oh, it was such a cool, cool moment. Loved it.
Andy is in the chat, it looks like, and he has said, from WrestleTalk's official account, no less, everyone has feet. I just don't want to see your gremlin fungal toes with that weird curled little toe. Everyone has feet. Man of the people, Andy Datsun.
Typing with one hand, Andy Datsun.
But yeah, there was also a dual sharpshooter spot, just like those DIY matches where the Revival were both in sharpshooters and they were reaching for each other's hands to stop, like so Cash could drag Dax to the ring ropes when Matt and Nick Jackson had them on. But, you know, just layers upon layers, Matt Jackson collapsed eventually because of his injured leg. He couldn't keep it locked in.
And even adding on to that, Cash, who was on the outside with Nick Jackson applying the hole, was tapping out. So he was actually submitting, but Matt Jackson, because of the worked over leg, couldn't properly apply it to Dax. And in the end, as you say, he just collapsed out of it. So the tactic that the Bucks had was right. It was a great tag team tactic, but because of the FTR's in-ring work, they couldn't do it. So much to this. And it was just, what a year we've had for tag team wrestling in AEW. They have got the best tag team division in the entire world. And you look back at that Revolution tag match. I actually rewatched quite recently your reactions when you and Andy did the live stream for it. Your reaction to the kick out at one.
loved it.
Your reaction to the tease of the Hangman buckshot right at the end. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm torn, man. I don't know which match I preferred. I don't know which of the two I like the best.
It's damn close. It's damn close.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's Page Omega. It's not actually like a question in my head. I definitely preferred Omega Page. Versus the Bucks, not the opener. On this show, I thought it was the tag match that was match of the night. But in terms of the overall show, like Revolution was a fantastic event. And all of AEW's shows have been brilliant. But I think top to bottom, quality-wise, this was the best pay-per-view they've ever put on. And it's also the best pay-per-view of the year. I feel like AEW are now in that groove. All Out was a great show, but it was marred by that Matt Hardy injury. So that's kind of an aberration. Let's ignore that. But they're in that sort of routine that NXT was in a couple of years ago, where every takeover was better than the last. And you're like, well, they've peaked now, right? And then the next time they'll come out and smash it even harder.
Yeah, I don't know where I sit on whether I think that Full Gear was better than All Out because Revolution rather. I think it was certainly better than All Out because I think back to that tag match, Moxley Jericho, the Pac Orange Cassidy match. But yeah, I think there is opening up with Omega Page having this Bucks FCI match, the Kingston Moxley I Quit match, the really surprisingly fun encounter between Orange Cassidy and John Silver that actually matched Darby Allin, Cody Rhodes. There is really the only down point of this match, I would argue, is that Matt Hardy Ultimate Deletion match. And the only reason I think is that because I think it went on for probably 5-10 minutes too long.
Yeah, if that was half the length, you know, it was funny, had its cameos. Mm-hmm. I thought it actually had quite a nice serious ending as well. Just went on too long. That's the only criticism. Mm-hmm. Very minor quibbles overall. But yeah, if you haven't seen it and you're like, maybe I don't get the appeal of the Revival or FTR or AEW, please go and watch this match because it's phenomenal. I was just looking back over my notes. I've got over a page and a half of notes for this match alone. And it's like, I can see the point where I thought, well, this is wrapping up now. And it's only halfway through those notes. And then they do. And it never felt like it went too long. Like it never felt like, that should have been the finish or that should have been the finish. Just cannot say enough good things about it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Well, let's go through some of
Buy my
your...
t-shirt.
Let's go through some of your super chats.
Have you got the document? I can do it if you'd like. Bacon rashes.
Bacon rashes. I always had it. Hiya, lads. Great pay-per-view. All the matches had something different. That's what I loved about it. No match was the same. Cough, cough, WWE. Hashtag jam, jam.
I'll just read that again because Ollie Davis's internet crashed out slightly there. But it was great pay-per-view for me, and all the matches had something different. That's what I loved about it. No match was the same. Cough, cough, WWE, jam that championship. Thank you very much, Bacon Rasher. Yeah, and we said this like when we, you know, opening the show with Paige and Omega, and then you go into that comedy match, and then you can go into the serious stuff with Cody and Darby again. There was just like... everything about each match had its own unique flavor, and I love that about it. And I love that about AEW.
Gerard Mullins, was Full Gear the best pay-per-view of all time, not just 2020?
I don't know if I would say it's the best pay-per-view of all time, just because I think if you were going to say something is the best, you can't have sort of like minor quibbles about a show if it's going to be like the best show you have ever seen. So I don't know. But then again, I don't know what I would say is the best show, the best pay-per-view of all time is, apart from WrestleMania X7, of course.
Kevin, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Full Gear, the one night of the year when Renee Young gets to see her husband wrestle crazy death matches.
Oh, I don't think Renee had a good time watching this show.
I think she's playing it up for the crowd. It's a gimmick. It's a work. She also tweeted... yesterday, she got her mum to watch it.
Oh, really?
And of course, her mum didn't like it either. Those are not the actions of someone who genuinely doesn't like John's matches. She's like, oh, this is terrible. This is making me really scared. Mum, come round and repeat watch this with me. Matthew Makovsky. One of two. Okay, so it's two parts. What a show this was. My question is, with being going to put this on. My question is, with being done with this pay-per-view, I wonder where you guys see things going from here. Darby's next challenger, or Moxley have a new challenger?
Yes, that's Matthew just saying that he can't decide what the match of the night is, just in case you didn't catch Ollie Davis's internet just breaking up slightly there. It's okay, but it's all right. These things happen, man.
Let me massage the tables.
And saying what we see next for Darby, certainly is going against Team Taz. I think him tagging with Cody and going up against Starks and going up against Brian Cage and Starks had that moment where they were tussling over the belt themselves. You've also got Will Hobbs in that mix too, and Moxley, apart from Lance Archer, is going into a feud with Kenny Omega now, because Kenny Omega won the number one contendership tournament. So really, really exciting stuff there. And you've got to imagine for Kingston, it's the bastard pack.
Nate S. I'll say it again. Full Gear was the best live wrestling show I've ever been to. He was our man on the ground there. Is my internet better now?
It's much better now, yeah.
I closed the things I watched.
Just as you said that, it crapped out again.
Ah, don't know if it came across, but really felt like it was a great crowd. I'm still hoarse. Amazing all-around show.
Yeah, the crowd actually, like we were saying on the live stream, it's so nice to hear this, like the organic crowd reaction again, because I think they not packed out the place, because obviously it was, you know, safe and everyone was social distancing, but you could feel the crowd atmosphere, which I, you know, I've really missed from AEW shows, because AEW does have that rabid crowd there for the show. So I really, really enjoyed that. I was actually curious if, but I think Nate also said in the chat as well that he didn't mind the Elite Deletion match, and it didn't actually quell the crowd themselves, who were still then hot for the Jericho MJF match. Because I actually felt that those two matches sort of like killed the crowd down a little bit before that main event of Moxley Kingston.
I agree. Well, let's get, actually, before we get on with the full play-by-play review of the card, we made a little challenge at the end of Full Gear. Of course, Laurie was El's special guestador to decide a proper winner would be held. And I think I got screwed still.
How? But you picked the wrong orange. If you'd have, and it's an orange that you changed your mind on as well. If you had have stuck with your initial pick of Orange 4, you would still be the champion.
I got naked for that title.
Yeah, no, I had to wash it. Something rotten, mate. Get your penis stench off of it.
It's a smelly penis. But the... Yeah, so what we're going to do is one last time this year. It's going to be the All Authority, Team All Authority versus Team Lukewarm. It's going to be me. It's going to be Pete. And I'm asking around for a third to take on Luke and whoever two jambronies he can find for Survivor Series live reactions.
Well, I've got people. I've got a Rolodex of people. I've actually got people queuing out the door to be on Team Lukewarm Luke Owen. I'm not going to give away my tactics. I'm going to tell you, because then you're going to try and steal them away with offers of free beer at beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Get a free case of craft beer on us. Don't show them the t-shirt. Oh, you are terrible at showing people, trying to get people to buy your merchandise.
Such good jam.
What a terrible thing to do, to try and show off a t-shirt and get people to buy it.
Join the All Authority today. Okay, so we kicked off the buy-in show with Serena Deeb, NWA Women's Champion, versus Allison Kay, former NWA Women's Champion, recent free agent. They had a decent match, went about 5-10 minutes, and Deeb won with a, I think she made a tap. Yeah.
She did, yes. Like that's a Boston Crab style thing. Mm. Yeah.
And Thunder Rosa turned up after the speculation of where she would be going next in her career. But she turned up, looked like she's going to start a feud with the NWA title again.
It's a shame that she's not going back to a Shida program, because I kind of felt that that's what we were building to after All Out. And that's not like us being fans and fantasy booking things. That's literally what the TV show was telling us. Mm. And then they just sort of stopped doing that.
I had, because we covered this in the news today, and I was thinking one really cool way to sort of reset AEW's women's division is make it the AEW NWA women's division and tore that belt around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? People do not like the AEW women's championship design either. So it might be a way to kind of get rid of that belt for a little bit and just use the NWA one, which is actually quite nice.
So for the main show, I was excited. I was prepared for this great card. I've got to be honest, I was mostly prepared, though, for the Ultimate Deletion to open the show because it was a cinematic match. And then Kenny Omega's entrance hit, and I wasn't prepared. I started hyperventilating. My heart was going, oh my word, what a way to kick off a pay-per-view.
I wasn't ready. The commentators just said, hey, we're opening up the show tonight with Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega. And I was like, no, you're not. I mean, that's a crazy idea. Why would you do that? It was, oh, what a brilliant idea, though, because... These two went out there and they had an incredible match that was full of amazing near falls, full of incredible high spots, full of great character and storytelling. But it's not the best match that these two can have, because it wasn't supposed to be the best match that these two can have. This is the first part in a multi-part story. So actually, it was a genius move to put it on first. Oh, dude, loved it.
Yeah, to have that balance of blowing everyone away while... not doing Avengers Endgame is amazing. Yeah. You know, they gave us a really good, I don't know, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
They gave us Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah, it, there you go. It was Iron Man, which in itself, you know, still massively holds up as well. Watched it again recently. Brilliant film, that.
Yeah, but we know what's going to come later down the line. Cannot wait for it. Just everything. Don Callis was on commentary. Did you know he was the guy that put together Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom?
I mean, it doesn't get brought up a lot by Don Callis. So, I mean, I'd like him to mention it a couple more times just to really remind us all.
But he was fantastic on commentary. They had a four-man booth. It's kind of when we all realized on the live reactions, huh, it's okay when you've got loads of commentators and they're all amazing. but yeah, just from the get-go, Kenny offered the handshake. Hangman Page was like, nah, mate. And they just had this amazing, action-packed, hard-hitting contest. One bit, Page did a pop-up powerbomb on the stage.
So good. Brutal, actually. Like, Kenny's head bounced up something fierce off that pop-up powerbomb. Really, really fierce.
But it was all based around these two guys know each other inside and out, former, you know, tag team champions. And they were just reversing everything the other person was hitting them with. So, but it got at the end, it was Kenny who just got the better of it after this fantastic sequence of reversals and moves. And Kenny, you know, I feel like he's become even better at near falls recently. Like, he was getting so close to three. I thought Hangman Page was winning. Maybe that's what it was. I was so invested in Page potentially winning, I was believing more. Kenny actually might not have changed anything. But yeah, Kenny caught a buckshot, the trigger in the ropes, and got the one-winged angel for the win.
Hey, do you know what helped him get that win? Do you know why Kenny Omega picked up that win? It's those extra 8 years worth of in-ring experience that helped Kenny Omega pick up this win over tag team wrestler Hangman Page.
So that was part of Kenny Omega's ring introduction, which gets better and better every week. Again, another reference to North Carolina. Still don't know what's happening there. But yeah, perfect match. Perfect match that was brought about, remember, by the tournament. This wasn't a blood feud. This wasn't, I want to beat you. I need to beat you first before I get to AEW title. It was something that happened that was out of their control almost.
And we said this during the live stream as well, but I'm now worried for Hangman Page. Not in terms of booking. Like, you know, you sometimes get where you're like, oh man, that's another loss. I mean, I'm concerned for him as a character because that's now, he lost All Out last year when he had the championship in his grasp. He's now in a tournament to become a number one contender and he's lost that as well. He then spent most of this year, or, you know, the year and a bit as part of in the tag team division. He has constantly fallen at those important hurdles and he's only got himself to blame at times. What's that going to do to his psyche, man? Like, you saw what he was like in the lead up to this match. I'm genuinely concerned for him. He looked so sad after this match.
And another thing I loved, it wasn't like afterwards Kenny Omega shoved him or they started having a proper brawl. That never really happened in the match either. It was never like this blood feud level of interaction. Like, I hate you. It was just like, oh, I'm done with you. I don't, like, neither guy really wanted to wrestle each other. So as soon as Omega won, he just walks off.
Yeah.
Back in, and his back is always to Hangman Page. Even when he's on the entrance ramp, when you would normally turn round, celebrate to the crowd, he kept his back at Hangman Page, just held one arm in the air, Undertaker style, and then walked out of the babyface tunnel. It's important to note. I don't know what that means. I imagine Kenny still thinks he's a babyface.
Oh, of course Hangman, he does.
Yeah. And Page was just totally dejected, helped out of the arena by the referee.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about this after the Young Bucks Hangman Page match, but Kenny Omega came out to celebrate with the Young Bucks. And they had this wide shot, so you could see the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega celebrating. But in the distance, in the entrance ramp, was Hangman Page, looking so sad and dejected because he is not part of the team anymore. He's not part of the Elite. He's betrayed his friends because FTR kind of fooled him into this. It was so subtle that Sean Ross Sapp missed it. Sean Ross Sapp didn't see it until like the following day when some people pointed it out to him, but he didn't see it. And that's also helped by the fact the commentators weren't hamming it up and there was no like focus on it. It was just there. If you were paying attention, it's rewarding to you. In the same way that I've actually just been, the reason, because I've been watching Avengers Infinity War today with the director's commentary on, and they sort of keep bringing up the fact that, like, hey man, if you've invested your time into this series, there's a lot in here that, like, you know, we did this to reward the people that have been paying attention. That was there to reward us for paying attention.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And after that, you're like, well, you opened with one of the most anticipated best in ring matches of the year. What are you going to do to follow that? And the answer, completely change it up. Have an orange sorbet. Orange Cassidy versus John Silver. It's a complete tonal change, a comedy match. But even in it, even the comedy wrestling in AEW is incredibly enjoyable. These two can go something fierce. John Silver in particular. One-armed military press on Orange Cassidy. Cassidy's going to be helping out a bit, putting his hands on Silver's shoulder, but that's insanely impressive. And those lightning speed kicks from Silver, really, really good. All while remaining funny. Brilliant indie-style wrestling. Loved it. This is what comedy wrestling really can be. You know, if you've been brought and know, or I don't know, R-Truth, and you think that's comedy wrestling, you know, this is proper comedy wrestling. It's actually funny for a change. Cassidy rightfully won.
Yeah, absolutely. Orange Cassidy is the man to win here. I kind of feel bad for Orange Cassidy in a little way, though, because he was the man that came out the victor in the Chris Jericho feud, but kind of like Kevin Owens after WrestleMania, it doesn't feel like he came out the winner of that feud, because he's fallen into, you know, almost down the card. He's now seemingly setting up some feud. You're getting involved in the Miro Kip Sabian stuff. It doesn't feel like the feud elevated Orange Cassidy above where he was previously.
I think that's the right thing to do. I think the stuff with Jericho was more Jericho influenced. He obviously wanted to work with the guy. Orange Cassidy, I love comedy wrestling, but he is not ever going to be a upper mid to main eventer. It's just not that sort of gimmick. If it works and that happens, then I will happily eat my words, but I genuinely believe that won't happen. So This is where Orange Cassidy should be. He is an act that will get tired fast if overexposed, and this is at the right level, particularly after the bigger exposure against Jericho.
Good use of him as well in this this Silver match. You know, in a way, sort of counter what I was just saying then, and I really enjoyed the match. Silver's great, man. As tall as he is wide, he's this very short, squat little man, but he's got great facial expressions. And he, you're right. Oh yeah, because there's little Pete. Look at Pete there on the screen there.
He's there, right there.
But again, it was John Silver that cost himself this match. Tried to pay an homage to Brody Lee, do the discus lariat. And it did not work out for him. And Orange Cassidy hit the orange punch in the beach break for the win.
After that, we got Cody versus Darby Allin, which was just... I mean, this is also a contender for match of the night.
This match featured a top rope crossroads, which is as insane as it sounds. And was... Do you know what I loved about that spot? It wasn't just to be this big high spot because they did a crossroads off the top rope, which is, you know, insane. But it was all done to be part of the story and the character as well, because Darby Allin, wrestling smart, got himself towards the side of the ring as close as he could to getting outside of the ring. And Cody got the cover, but was not paying attention and did not see that Darby's arm was underneath the ropes. Darby didn't kick out. Darby didn't get a hand on the ropes. The referee, Mike Chioda, did the right thing and was like, oh no, his arm's underneath the rope. That's not a legal pin. And Arn Anderson's on the outside, telling him to focus. You've got to pay attention. And that's been Arn's thing all along with Cody, is that he hasn't been paying attention as of late. Oh, what a great, great spot.
Yeah. And he came out, announces Cody Rhodes, something he said he wasn't going to do. But as soon as Justin Roberts announced him as that, oh, it was like a huge release of, I don't know, just joy, I felt.
Yeah,
I was so happy for him. Yeah. But the story of this match was Cody kind of underestimating Darby Allin, but not like underestimating him in a patronizing way or like a really significant way, just slightly underestimating him. And that was enough to lose him the match ultimately. Like you said, he could have had it won there. But Darby then came back, with Arn shouting like, focus, focus, focus at Cody. Darby comes back, hits a few moves, and then they have a roll around exchange of near falls. And you're like, oh, okay, I've seen this. This never ends in the finish. They're going to do something after this. But no, Darby holds down Cody and he wins. And that was like the last bit of effort Darby had in him. He falls over immediately, can't get up. Cody immediately springs up like, oh my God, what just happened? Which is such like a fascinating visual of and a beautiful way to encapsulate that entire story, that Cody underestimated Darby, but Darby put everything he had into the match.
Yeah. Wonderful stuff. I can't say enough good things about this. And you're absolutely right. Like, this could, on any other night, this would have been like, you know, a match of the night. And it was certainly a match of the night contender. But it happens to be on the same show as the Bucks versus FTR and Moxley versus Kingston and Omega versus Page. But yeah, dude, what an incredible match. Absolutely loved it. And it's just, a lot of people have always doubted Cody. I called him Cody for a second then. A lot of people have always doubted Cody that he's not the big match guy. But I think since AEW, he has proven it time and time and time again that he is a big match wrestler. And it's all him, man. These are the styles of matches that he wants to have. And he's very, very good at doing them.
I think it's very much enhanced by the War and Peace stories that he has in those matches as well.
Well, it's got to be one or the other, really. It's either a cup of coffee and catering, or it's War and Peace. There is no in-between in wrestling. You've watched wrestling long enough to know that.
After that, you know, there was this sort of like, oh my God, Cody was being a bit heelish in the match. He lost out of his own flaws. Typically, that's a burgeoning heel who will blame other people for his own mistake. And, you know, he was looking at the title, the TNT title. Darby's standing there and, like, oh my God, he's going to hit him. But he doesn't. He drops to one knee and offers it to Darby, really putting them over strong. I thought that was that, like, this was a match anyway. Really enjoyed it. But I'd say Cody's other matches has that layer of emotion in it, which really, really puts it over the top for me. And this was that moment when he, when he got down on one knee and gave Darby the belt. It was just like, this, what a guy, what a way to build a new star. So patient as well, 18 months after that first time limit draw. The first real homegrown star, I would argue.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, and that's all through Cody. Like, this has he's been Cody's project since Fighter Fest last year.
Yeah. Then we did get an angle, but I didn't think it undermined anything. Which was Team Taz coming out. Brian Cage and Ricky Starks attack both men, keeping them alive in the TNT title picture. Really nice moment when they both hold up the TNT title and are like, no, that's mine. No, that's mine.
Oh, it's so good.
But then they beat up Cody and Darby some more and they tease what we were like really genuinely concerned about, which was Darby's arm in a car door and they were going to slam it and break it. You know, Darby's arms. I wouldn't worry about like Brian Cage's arm in a car door. I think the car door comes off worse there. But really Darby's is getting mangled, but Will Hobbs chased them off. Like, what a TNT title picture that is.
Yeah. And you know what's like the brilliance of using Darby in that angle is because Darby's like short film series that he does on Dynamite every single week for his, you know, short film submission. He did a spot with Steve-O from Jackass recently. So when Darby Allin's arm is in this door, I'm not sitting there going like, well, they're never going to do this spot. Yeah. It's more like, I could totally see Darby doing this spot, to be honest.
Totally. After that, we got a few promos. We're getting a bunkhouse match against the Nightmare Family and Butcher and the Blade on Dynamite. We're getting Pentagon versus Rey Fénix number 2 on Dynamite. Oh my God. And Ty Nara Conti versus Red Velvet.
Yeah. Hey, it's matches announced.
Speaking of the women's division, we got Sheeta versus Nyla Rose next, which, as is always the way, the in-ring wrestling is great. Sheeta and Nyla Rose made up for that complete lack of build by just going a million miles from the offset and having a really good... I really, really like this match. And it all built to Nyla Rose... was it a powerbomb on Sheeta?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She hits her finish on Sheeta. She goes to pin, but then she pulls up Shida before the three count because she wants to beat Shida with her own move. You're like, oh, that's so dastardly. And she hits it. And then Shida kicks out at... Did she kick out at one?
I'm not sure if she kicked out at one. Oh, no, she did kick out at one. She kicked out at one from the running knee. That's right, yeah. The
double middle fingers that Shida kicked out at one. And then Shida does a second rope falcon arrow and goes for the pin, but she pulls up Nyla this time. You're like, oh my God, this is brilliant. And then she goes to hit the running knee on Nyla. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the perfect finish for a match. And then Vicky Guerrero trips her.
Yeah, like it was literally like it was at its boiling point. And they, for whatever reason, took the match off the boil to do this Vicky Guerrero stuff, which totally, like, I've got nothing against Vicky Guerrero. I've actually got nothing against, you know, manager interference. This wasn't the time to do it. You were at the finish because you do the Vicky Guerrero stuff, which wasn't brilliantly timed. Like Vicky didn't even time the trip correctly. And then Nyla gets outside. Nyla gets thrown into Vicky Guerrero. And then you roll in. And what do? You literally just repeat the spot you were just doing, which is the running knee and then the various and the kick out from the running knee and the various knees from Shida to pick up the win. If you'd have just cut out that Vicky Guerrero thing and ended it with Nyla kicking out of the knee and then Shida hitting the multiple knees to get the win, it would have been a fantastic finish. But it's just ever so marred by unnecessary outside interference, which probably should have come earlier in the match if they were going to do it.
I'm just going to be the person who's listening to this. But Ollie and Luke, you always say you want stories in the women's division. You want tension. You want conflict. This is a story, right? I'm like, yeah, damn it. You got us there. You're right. But it's not a good story.
No, and you're right. And it's not a good story. And that's the case of it. And I think it like what it bugs me about the match is that because it came at just the wrong moment. Like it takes the match off the boil and then you have to try and put it back onto the boil. And it wasn't the right time. Mm. And then after the match, Nyla and Vicky apparently have split up this partnership, which is... You know, it's been such a featured act on Dynamite. It was a real blow off to it.
I didn't get that. So Vicky slapped Nyla Rose afterwards, screamed at her, and then walked off. And Nyla Rose, just rather than hit Vicky, looked a bit sad and then followed her. I took that as they're still a unit, but Vicky is annoyed with Nyla. Maybe Nyla's going to have a babyface turn months down the line. You know,
maybe. Right, I mean, maybe. Again. I'm going to give credit to AEW, though. Tony Khan, TK, as his friends call him, said on the media conference call that they have made mistakes with the women's division. And actually, you know, I give him a lot of credit for owning up to this as well and owning up to the mistakes that they've made in this. And he just, you know, he put it very plainly. I watch Dark. You know, I always focus on what is going on Dark. It's a product that I really enjoy putting together to help facilitate as a storyline. But I need to realize that half my audience is watching Dark. So they're not seeing these storylines. They're seeing half of the story being told on Dynamite. So in TK's mind, this story has been told really well. It's been told over months, but only because he's also watching Dark and putting the show together. So I think it was very, very nice, you know, very bold and brave to come out and be like, I made a mistake, but it's not a mistake that I want to repeat again.
Refreshing. Hopefully it sticks. After that, we got the tag match, which was absolutely incredible. Following that, we got Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in Ultimate Deletion, which was, it was fun. It was completely different from the serious match that came before it. I totally don't mind if you hated it. It's divisive by its very nature. It's a cinematic match, broken Hardy universe style match. It's not for everyone. And to think otherwise, to get annoyed with people not liking this match is to be really narrow-minded yourself, weirdly. But if people don't like this, they've got very fine reason to. Had some fun cameos. Gangrel was there. Hurricane Helms made a cameo. And it turned into a bit of a serious match near the end. Hardy and Sammy are in this separate dome area. The Dome of Deletion, was it called?
The garage. They were in the garage.
The garage. And everyone else was outside, so they couldn't interfere anymore. And it actually turned into a bit of a, like, a sort of violent bloodbath with them replicating the spot through the tables, but it was Sammy who busted his head open. Sammy even did the stumble, where, like, selling he was knocked out, like Matt Hardy was at All Out. You know, it's weird. Like, there's a part of me that's kind of, oh, that's a bit tasteless. I was really made uncomfortable by that All Out happening. But then there's another part of me that's like, it's wrestling. Everything's kind of fair game. And I think those kind of nullified each other, and I didn't mind.
I mean, to be honest, I think you've got to have this spot in there, because how else are you going to build to the next match that they have at Revolution next February?
Yes. Well, hopefully this is the end of their feud now. Sammy can go on something else. But
All Out.
Yeah. He got beaten by a concerto to the back of Sammy's head. So really, that should ride off Sammy for a while, you'd hope.
Yeah. So he can then come back and attack Matt Hardy, and we can get the feud going again.
Well, that means there is one person missing in the inner circle who just so happens to be the most vocal dissenter of MJF joining. So let's have a month, 2 months of MJF in the inner circle, and then Sammy comes back to find that Jericho has a new favorite.
Also, if you're a fan of Salty JR, I would go out of your way to watch the Elite Deletion match, because Salty JR was pouring salt all over this match. My particular favorite was when Gangrel shows up. Shivani and Excalibur are like, oh my God, Gangrel's here. And JR just goes like, yeah, or David Heath. Mm. David Heath, this is also known. Come on, mate.
Yeah, the only problem really was that it went on too long.
Too long.
As we've said. Lance Archer and Jake the Snake Roberts got a really good promo, sort of a pre-film thing in an alleyway. Then we got that Chris Jericho versus MJF match. It essentially, it's heel versus heel. And I know Nate S., who was in the crowd live, he said that everyone was really electric for this too. They were hot all night. But it came across on TV like there was a definite lull in energy, not just from the crowd, but from the commentators. We felt it too. These are long shows, unfortunately. I wish AEW did 3-hour main cards. This was 3 hours 45. And we were in the 3-hour mark by this point. Heel versus heel was kind of a slow, methodically worked match. Could have worked elsewhere, but maybe not the best thing for here. But it did have a fun finish.
Yeah, very. I loved the finish of this match, but the match itself wasn't great. But you know, I thought the finish sort of more than made it. Maybe it shouldn't have been the semi-main. Maybe that's, I don't know. But I suppose maybe it was the best place for it. Maybe it's, oh, sorry, my lights just died, unfortunately. There. Maybe it's because it came after the Elite Deletion match. Like, maybe if the Elite Deletion match had gone second on the card after the Hangman Page Omega match, and you had the Cassidy Silver match before this, or just like maybe that would have helped the crowd a little bit. Yeah, I felt like the crowd weren't as into this as they were other matches on the card, in particular the main event.
But the finish was the old Eddie Guerrero spot where Jericho's about to use the baseball bat, referee's distracted, MJF takes a bump, lies down, referee Aubrey Edwards turns around. Hey, did you just use the bat? No, I didn't. MJF rolls him up to win. So yeah. That was the I'll do anything to win thing, which was quite nice. You know, it's that cheat bit, which is what Jericho's all about, has been all his life. So they hugged afterwards. Wardlow and MJF are now in the inner circle. I'm really excited for where this will go.
I'm so excited. This has got brilliant segments written all over it.
Yeah, hopefully musical. And then we got an announcement that Revolution will be on February 27th, so a long time away. Then Best Friends had a scuffle with Kip Sabian and Miro backstage.
So Nate S. has just said in the Super Chat saying that the crowd definitely lulled, but thought they picked up by the end.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Nate. And the main event was Jon Moxley versus Eddie Kingston of a clash.
I mean, AEW streams are always divisive when we got the live chat on because of claims of bias and this other sort of nonsense like that. If you think that we've got AEW bias because we like some of their matches, I would probably recommend tuning out now, because this match was incredible. This match was so, so, so great. Jon Moxley was incredible in this main event. Eddie Kingston was incredible in this main event. The crowd were incredible watching this main event. The commentary was great. Everything about this was absolutely amazing. Loved it.
Yeah. The story was everything they've done in the magnificent promo work they built. They used the build to it, which was Moxley does not want to do this to Eddie Kingston, but he's going to have to. They're former friends. And I don't think I've ever seen an I Quit match structured like this, which usually you do a move on someone and then you're like, referee, get the microphone to them, ask them to quit, or get them in a submission. You're going to quit yet. But what they did here was Moxley would go to Kingston. I'm going to, what was it that he said first?
It was the break your fingers.
Oh yeah, I'm going to break your fingers.
It was that early in the match.
Yeah. And Kingston was like, I'm not going to quit. So he broke the fingers. And then they kept going back to that throughout the match. They were threats. Like, please stop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so great. I thought both men just played their parts so, so beautifully. It was just, yeah, I've got nothing but great things to say about this match. And yeah, it, you know, Mox tradition, it was the big hardcore match. He bloody loves to have them. And this match featured a spot, you know, it featured a thumbtack spot. And then Eddie Kingston got rubbing alcohol out. Wrestling's a work, you know, like it's, and it's fine. When they do paper cut spots in a hardcore match, so they go like, oh my God, it's actually a paper cut. This, you know, all the stapler and things like that, because it's a work and other stuff. But it's still got a genuine reaction out of me because I believe what they're doing and they sell it like it's real. And I love that about it. And I totally bought it, totally bought into it.
Yeah. You mentioned on the actual stream, you were like, shout out to Kingston for sniffing the alcohol, you know. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't, maybe it was alcohol. I don't know.
I mean, it is Eddie Kingston and John Moxley. There's every chance that this was legit rubbing alcohol. Yeah,
it makes no difference to anyone outside that ring if it was water, but they worked me and I love it. But ultimately it was Mox. You know, he was like, I'm going to have to do it. He wrapped this bit of barbed wire around his own hand that had been factoring in throughout the entire match and put on the bulldog choke on Kingston. And Kingston was like crying in this hold, just like,
yeah,
but not from pain. I don't feel like it was from pain. I feel like it was a man's just like own fortitude and recognition that he can't do it. That he was crying at. I don't think Eddie Kingston cares about being cut. This was just his own recognition that he was failing, and he said, I quit.
That's it. I think it was recognition that he'd realized he'd lost, and all of those promises that he had made, he could not keep. Those promises that he'd made to his mum, he was not going to be able to keep, and that's why he was crying. And Moxley was crying while applying the hold, because Moxley knows that he has had to make this man break his promises. Promises that he shouldn't have made. Oh, it was just, the emotion was so real. I mean, I've stolen it from Simon Miller a few times, but Pete, like, someone needs to tell Eddie Kingston the wrestling isn't real, but he is so real. That it drives an incredible amount of emotion, and I absolutely love it. You know, Alex Quinn of The Ring put out a great tweet. He was like, Eddie Kingston for the first time has made me care about the AEW championship and who wins or loses it. And, you know, I've seen a few people say that they're not fans of Moxley matches. Adam Blompier is one of them. But for me, this was just absolutely spellbinding stuff. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah. And afterwards, Kenny Omega came down for a bit of a stare down. So that's obviously our next match. He's the number one contender. Overall, 5 out of 5. How can you even question it? I loved it, loved it, loved it. If you're like, it was a 3 out of 5 show, you really need to reassess how you rank wrestling and maybe ask yourself if there's any of your own bias going on.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Demetrius Reese, no real question. Loved Full Gear. Love you guys. Have a beautiful day. Don't stop jamming that jam.
Thank you so much.
Chris Blass. Hey guys, this is my first AEW pay-per-view that I paid for, and it was worth it. I enjoyed the match order and how they were set up. Imagine DIY versus FTR on AEW.
I mean, I'd imagine it'd be very similar to their NXT match.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any stylistic difference. They're it's also very good NXT.
Yeah.
Charlie Davis, Kenny cut a promo after the match and kept talking about we almost had a hard time winning. Excalibur also asked Don if Kenny usually talks to himself as much as he has been lately.
That's an interesting little wrinkle. I like that.
James Hanley, it's strange. I'm in Pennsylvania. Can't speak. Pennsylvania, and you two are in the UK. It's not like we know each other, but when Paige Omega started the show, I thought Luke and Ollie just lost their damn minds.
And we did.
We know you all. We're all good friends. James Hanley again. When Paige does promos from now on, they should play All by myself. One is the loneliest number in the background. Hashtag jam that jam. Both Harry Nilsson songs, I believe.
Well, look at you dropping some knowledge.
The Fifth Beatle. J.R. Burke, or no, he wasn't the Fifth Beatle. He was the American Beatle. J.R. Burke, 306.
My music teacher at school claimed that he was the Fifth Beatle, but he left the band because he wanted to be a teacher instead.
They had to, J.R. Burke, 306, they had to bring Dom to do commentary because no way J.R. could say all those Kenny Omega move names.
Very good.
What? All of those move names? All four of his moves? Featuring a one-winged angel, Terminator dive.
Snapdragon.
Gabriel Caruso, can we take a second to talk about how nice Matt Hardy's house is? Giant fountain, wraparound driveway, giant parking garage, and all of that land.
Actually, we said that on the stream. Like, they had a shot of the house, and I just said, sorry, I was like, it is a lovely house, though, isn't it? It's just really nice.
The dude's got a lake.
Yeah, I know.
Paul Kerr, for me, the Bucks match at Revolution is only better than their match at Full Gear because they had a big crowd. They are outstanding storytellers.
No, they only do flips, Paul. Just remember, that's all they can ever do.
Make t-shirts. Mike D, FTR's motto is no flips, just fists. They ended up going against their own motto and it cost them everything. Brilliant.
Love it. Perfect.
Wes Snow, how many tributes were in the tag team match? It started with a Steiner Brothers top rope bulldog. What else did I miss? Oh my God.
The heart attack.
Swanton bomb, heart attack. The DIY references.
Yeah, it's just so much. Absolutely loved it.
Dynamic Penguin, FTR doing the DIY kicks made me giddy with excitement. This match reminded me why I love wrestling so much.
And it's funny as well, because those DIY matches is what, you know, often reminded me how much I love professional wrestling. That those FTR DIY matches in NXT were just like wrestling perfection, man.
What is Wrestling asks, FTR versus Young Bucks was a great match, but I don't think it's an all-time classic. Nick gave Dash a weak super kick with his injured leg, and that's what won the match. I'm sorry, but that ain't it.
I don't know. What do you think, man?
I can see the reasoning behind that. I think I was overcome with the story justification. It was poetic justice rather than, I guess, actual believable justice. But I'm so weighted towards poetic license. I think
it's also working through the pain that you've got in order to get the win, doing whatever it takes to get that pin, even if it's going to hurt you in the long run.
Bo Hill, Revolution tag match was better, but like this one more. Yes, I know that makes sense. Yeah, I do know what you mean. A love letter to fans of tag team wrestling. So many great callbacks.
Yeah, Bo Hill, I totally get what you're saying. Absolutely, that totally makes sense to me.
Wilson Simons, does Denise still not get FTR after that match? LOL, never seen the Young Bucks before. AEW, now by far my favorite tag team.
I'll be having a word with Denise on Friday's magazine show to see if she still if she doesn't get FTR still.
Bacon Rasher, I said a while back on a super chat about Young Bucks versus FTR feud not grabbing me, but that match did. Also, fair play for getting John Silver to advertise Beer 52. I have mine, drinking a can of Berlin Jam with the stream. Thank you very much, Bacon Rasher.
Thank you so much.
Taking advantage of the free beer.
Very, very kind of you.
Stephen Rediker, FTR fought the Young Bucks and the world rejoiced as foretold.
I know. And as we said, it's the first in a series, dude, because I cannot wait to see a rematch between the two teams.
I feel like we've got four pages of just FTR Young Bucks chat.
Yeah, we have.
We never get that much on a specific subject. Andrew, the Last Airbender, definitely a nitpick, but I miss Long Reigns. Insanely happy for Darby. But do you guys have any issues with the TNT and tag titles changing so quickly?
No. I don't on this occasion, particularly with the TNT title. Like I kind of subscribe to the way the Meltzer talks about their belt as well, which is that it is a mid-card belt that can be swapped around and it doesn't need like massively long reigns. It can be there to kind of like create new stars and sort of level them up a little bit. And with the tag team ones, I think this is actually the time for the Bucks to win. Like it's not, I don't think FTR lost anything in a short reign with this.
Yeah. Gabriel D. It seemed like there was something going on between Cash and Dax no one seems to be talking about. Hard tags to a bad hand, shove no one mentioned.
I don't think there's any ill between them. I don't think there's anything, no signs of them splitting up.
If that happened, I think that's more just them acting aggressively overall, mm-hmm. not at each other. Andrew, the last airbender. Matt Clark. Hey, Mark Clark. Hey, to aid the women's division, they should introduce a system where a challenger for a title has to win 7 matches, gets more women on Dynamite Weekly, and be a storyline plot. Your thoughts?
But they already have something. It's the ranking system.
There we go. Why 7? Kigo99. Hi, guys. Love the show. Thoughts on if you think when Moxley loses the title, if he will be a good fit to team with Eddie Kingston?
You know what? I've always thought there'd be a Moxley Darby Allin tag team as my Franken team to go into the tag picture, but yeah, a Moxley Kingston team is where it is at.
Oh, too much promo. The promo is too strong. Mr. Hanktastic, thank you very much for your generous super chat. Don't know how many people noticed Bryce tearfully telling Kingston it's over before the finish, but if you were a Chikara fan or aware of their history, it made the match so much more bittersweet. Bryce is so underrated. Jam that jam.
That is going back to what we were talking about then with Infinity War. It's like putting those things in for those people who have been paying attention, who have been following this, it's there for you. But if you're not there, then it doesn't, like, and you don't pick up on it, the match still has that same level of drama. But those details are there for the people that pay attention, and that is wonderful.
Man, that's beautiful. Good Harmer. Not sure if I was too much into Kingston, but when he left, he peaked the face side and turned to the heel exit.
Oh.
Thanks for the amazing content. Nick Colvello, also thanks for your very generous super chat. A couple amazing things about the pay-per-view first. First, John Silver's entrance jacket was so damn cool and made him look like a legit star. Secondly, Bryce Remsburg in the main event performed so damn well to begging Kingston to quit.
Yeah, incredible stuff.
Ah, Nate S. Wardlow in the inner circle? I bet Jericho says the stip was only for MJF and they beat down Wardlow as sort of an MJF initiation.
I don't think so, because Wardlow's under contract with MJF. So I don't know if that kind of works. And also Jericho did say that both MJF and Wardlow are in the inner circle now.
Yeah, and good luck beating up Wardlow, even if it's 5-on-1. Colostopia, when MJF turns on Jericho, we can have a Jericho, Wardlow, and Sammy babyfaces versus Inner Circle. Money is always spent well on another AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, totally agreed. There's a lot spinning out.
Justin Edelheat ordered my Mr. Davis shirt the other day. I loved during the MJF versus Jericho match that MJF came out with the light bright jacket. Yeah, he had Jericho's jacket on that was sparkling when the lights were cut off. You too can get your that's such good jam t-shirt. I've colored in all the money yellow because they would get keyed out on the green screen. My green eyes are also colored in blue.
Wrestling related, Nate S says, maybe too much WWE booking thinking, was expecting the Bucks to relinquish the titles due to Matt's injury and another tag tournament happens. What do you think?
I think Matt will work through fine. I hope.
Benjamin John Milner says, first time I can watch this show live because of ITV. If you could have a tag team of one modern and one old wrestler in their prime, who would you have together? Hogan, Austin.
Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, that's a very good shout.
Kurt Angle, Chad Gable.
That's the one. Boom, right there. That's the answer. Charles Berg, here's a thought that will get some heat. Most women's wrestling isn't good. Few women I've seen move at the speed or have the skill of the men. Sorry. Yeah, I think that is a... I would send that into Wrestling Daily. Get yourself a video of that. Send that to Louis Dengor and Alex McCarthy. I personally could not agree. I could not disagree more, really.
So I think that the thing there might be few women that you've seen. So you've got to think, is that how the promotion's booking them? Is that the styles of wrestling they're allowed to work? Is that the amount of attention and focus given to the stories? Or is it that women are just inherently bad at wrestling? I think it's quite obvious it's the former.
Exactly. I think if you watch Meiko Satomura versus Io Shirai from Stardom, you would not have those that thought.
Go watch All Japan Women in the early 90s.
Yeah, killing it. Charles Berg adds that women like Asuka and Charlotte are as good as the men. I think there's actually way more than that. Like, that list is very, very long. Zach Robinson, afternoon, gents. If you could take any famous major storyline from EA, AEW, ROH, TNA, NWA history and bring it to AEW, but AEW's in the options. What would you pick and why? The Claire Lynch storyline from TNA. Obviously, it's the right answer.
Hangman Page, Kenny Omega. No, I would... Punk? Do you know Summer of Punk from Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I was going to say Punk Raven from Ring of Honor. Like, those promos that they were cutting on each other were absolutely phenomenal stuff. Injection 2K, also, please go watch John Silver's Tough Enough tape on YouTube.
I am on that, mate. do you want to see it home?
I'll take us home, mate. Alistair Gammond, Luke and Ollie, hot potatoing the championship. We're Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair at this point. But at Survivor Series, I will retain. Dartrain 24, Mr. Davis constantly pushing free beer when I can't have it delivered to the USA. Heel move. I'm part of the yes, please movement. Hashtag yes, please. Sats Vault, as a joke, El Gestador's next challenge should be turn this wrestling-related episode piece into a clickbait headline. Hashtag Jamviver series.
It will be close fought.
Kevin, Ollie said, All In was a love letter to professional wrestling about 1,000 times in their WrestleTalk Extra review. Cheap plug. If I hear the words love letter and wrestling in the same phrase again, I'll eat my pillow.
Well, I thought a lot of... FTR versus Young Bucks was a love letter to pro wrestling.
Owen Mullane, how did Ollie's partner react to his HBK picture?
Okay, I played it to her the next day and she went like this. Oh my God, you did that? You did that? Huh. So if you haven't seen everyone, me and Luke were tasked with restaging a famous wrestling photo on the live reactions, and I had Shawn Michaels's Playgirl shoot, and I did it with the championship.
He did. It was very, very good. It was very
strong
impressive.
Strong round.
I had to dress up as I had to do this pose of The Rock. I actually woke up my wife getting all the stuff together for it. That's the wrong one. Honestly, that's the one I'm after. I woke up my wife because I was trying to find a bum bag under the bed, and in the end I just had to grab a handbag and pretend it was a bum bag. And people chastised me in the chat for it, but I even created the gold chain. I recreated the gold chain with a charging cable.
It's not good enough.
JBurk306, you should have won that round. JBurk306, if anything, you should have won by 100% of the votes. JBurk306, Mr. Davis, smelly, you know what, confirmed.
Who hasn't got one? That's why I use Manscaped sanitary wipes.
Rinny, I just want to say how great you... just want to say how great your Patreon is. I love the old pay-per-view reviews. So much content. I'm up to bad blood. It's fantastic. Recommended. Free plug.
Thank you, Rinny. Thank you very, very much. To hear. We love Patreon.
And the poll is now closed, actually, for the next episode of Wrestle Talk Extra. We are doing Survivor Series 2001. It's the end of the invasion. It's Team WWF versus some members of the WWF and Shane McMahon.
Oh, my God.
So that'd be a really fun one.
want to dive into.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Misha Sumra. Hey, Misha. He's an under consultation patron backer as well. Top picks for Lukewarm, his team at Survivor Series, Adam Blompier, Denis Salcedo, or Sean Ross Sapp. You love to see it. Jam that jam. Hmm. Interesting ideas you have there, Misha. Injection 2K. One, I cannot wait until BTE today. Two, I wonder what to watch over on Wrestle 2 today. Huh.
Oh, wait. Wrestling Daily's not on today.
It is.
Because it's... Oh, they're doing one for the AEW.
Yeah.
There you go. Wrestling Louis Daily with Alex McCarthy and Louis Dangor.
He even sent us a message to be like, can you plug the show in your... the review today.
Can he send it on Discord? I haven't had it.
He did, before. Yeah. It was earlier today. Owen Mullane, if you get an interview with John Silver, can you make Pete do the interview instead of Nuggets?
We might just interview Pete and claim it.
Nell MD, yes, please. Absolutely, yes, please. No, getting rowdy. OGP, yeah, you know me. Love how FTR lost from one mistake when they said the Bucks could never be the best because they lost when they all tagged against LB and Lucha Brothers and Butcher and Blade.
So many great little details there.
Myron Speed wasn't into FTR, the Bucks match going in. By God, Bucks pulling out a second awesome match of the year. Should have been the main event. Damn the build.
Yeah, but you know, there's so many matches that could have main evented that show.
Absolutely. And lastly, thank you very much to Mark Clark for your donation. Very generous donation. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.